Chell Anderson is a botanist and plant ecologist. She lives here in Cook County and joins us periodically to talk about phenology or what's going on in the woods right now. Welcome, Chell.
Hi, Dave.
Well, now, we associate cold weather with a brown landscape, unless there's snow on it, of course. But I understand there's still greenery out there, even though things look brown. Where is it?
Right. Well, this is one of the best times of year to find some things because they stand out so much because they're still green when, as you say, everything else is gray or brown, other than the coniferous trees, until the snow falls. And these plants that are still green out there, some of them will stay green right under the snow, and some will actually feed little animals that live under the snow. But I thought one thing that is worth people paying attention to until the snow comes and covers everything up is a group of plants called the club mosses. And they're related to ferns, with which people might be a little bit more familiar. And there are ferns, too, that stay green under the snow and are still green. Those ferns that are still green now, once spring comes, those fronds of the ferns that are green under the snow and are still there in the spring will eventually dry up and go away as the new fronds come out. The club mosses, on the other hand, they actually stay green right on through. They don't ever die back in the annual sense of the word. They're an interesting group of plants in that, like the ferns, who they're related to, they're part of the most ancient lineage of plants that we can observe today.
Now, these are the guys that look kind of like fuzzy caterpillars, only they're green.
Yeah, and some of their common names, like ground cedar or ground pine or running pine or princess pine or Christmas tree pine. Those are common names for some of the different species of club mosses that are one clue to what some of them look like. They look like miniature trees with spreading branches of different shapes and sizes, but they're all within the 3 to 6 inch high range. And then some are more spikes with just a few small branches. Others have much more spreading, rounded branches.
These club mosses, as you said, are really ancient. I mean, are we talking like prehistoric?
Oh, yes. We're talking about hundreds of millions of years ago. So the Carboniferous period.
Ooh, that is a long time ago.
Yeah, which was, you know, part of when the dinosaurs were on the land. At that point in time, the club mosses and the ferns were the canopy species
at
that time. So they were enormous, bigger than, in some cases, than the trees we have here today. This is a very ancient lineage of plants, and of course, the world has changed around them, but they've managed to hang on, keep a grip, so to speak, on Earth, despite all the big changes. And here in our landscape, they present themselves as usually small to very large colonies of green. They may look like small trees, you know, miniature trees, as I described before. Some look like mosses on steroids. They don't have branches, but they look big and robust, like a huge pumped up moss. And they grow in colonies, which a lot of, you know, most of our mosses do as well. And so they're easy to see right now or identify. Sometimes they're hard to find, you know, when they're amongst all the other ground layer plants in the summertime that are green. But now is a good time to look for them and see if you can pick them out. And some of them actually create their reproductive parts at the top of their stems. And that's where the club part of the, you know, the term club moss comes from, because it's often shaped kind of like a bat, baseball bat is shaped. And that's where the spores are ripen and dry. And once they dry, then they can be wind dispersed. So if you walk along and happen to kick those on a nice dry day, you'll send up a swirl of this very fine yellow dust, which is the spores of the club moss. And if you notice that, or you find some and you see that they have these clubs, you can, you know, flick it with your finger even. You'll create a little dust cloud of these spores. And those are going to be dispersed by the wind and, you know, settle somewhere. And if things go well, they can start another plant and eventually a colony. But these plants can also spread by vegetatively, because all those stems that you see above the ground are connected by a rhizome. So the rhizome travels along just under the leaf litter or just under the soil, and the individual upright stems come from the rhizome. So you could have a colony that covers a huge area, and it's possible that it's all one plant or just a few plants versus many, many, many individuals represented by all these stems. Those individual vertical stems can all be part of a very few or even just one plant.
If I'm out in the woods and, mm-hmm. you know, and I see Princess Pine and I uncover it to look at it, mm-hmm. am I doing it any damage or mm-hmm. should I cover it back up?
Yeah, cover the rhizomes back up. They grow where they do because that's where they're nicely settled and are protected from some of the elements. Yeah, cover them back up. And it's probably worth reminding people that the princess pine that you're familiar with is a very attractive species that people utilize for making wreaths and other kinds of decorative things in it during the holidays. And they're valuable because they have this long-lasting green capacity to hold their color for a long time. So if you are collecting any kind of decorative material like that, be sure to collect the stems individually. Don't get a hold of a few stems and pull up that rhizome and pull it out and take it all as a big bunch.
Because that would be the end of that.
If you're going to harvest on public land, then you need to get a permit for that and do it that way. I'll just mention one more thing that's very interesting about these species, and that is that these tiny little spores that come off the club moss, in past times, this was a very important product. The spores were a product. And they were used for everything from cosmetics, because it's a very fine talc, kind of as fine as talcum powder, and as an explosive agent for things like fireworks, photographers' flashes. So you picture the old photographers working, you know, with their mm-hmm. big heavy cameras and plates, and the flashes that they used, often made to flash like they did using these club moss spores. So it was a substitute for gunpowder, something one would never really realize looking at it in the woods or think, oh, wow, you know, big potential here for
I wonder who put that, who connected those dots.
Yeah, I don't know if that was the Chinese, perhaps, because, you know,
they invented gunpowder.
Yeah, I think magicians also used this in the past to make some of their flame-related magic tricks.
Shel Anderson is a botanist and plant ecologist, and thank you for helping us understand about club moss. It's an explosive topic.
You're very welcome.